is a public hearing for the city of St. Mary's for August 10th, 2015. Notice of property tax increase, and this is a public hearing.
Thanks.
So whoever would like to speak, please come up to the podium, state your name and address. We're recording it. Audio only, I think?
The video is not set.
Oh, we do.
It's not live.
Good, okay. All right, so please, feel free to come up.
Anybody want to go further? Go first. Okay, my name is Robert Porter. I don't know if you can hear me good enough with this rough road I got. I live at 303 Mahan Street on by the cemetery. Avoiding a tussle with the people in the county about taxes, they seem to think my house is worth a lot more than it is. Now I'm talking to y'all about taxes. I got this notice about it going up 11 something percent. I'd like to know how y'all arrived at 11%. I look over my glasses. Let's see. Also, it says, we'll provide needed public service vehicles and equipment for the St. Mary's Fire and Police Departments. For example, fire trucks get placed two that are approximately 30 years old. I notice that the fire trucks are emphasized, because fire trucks are necessary to protect all our lives and property. However, it leaves a big empty thing in there, other vehicles. I'd like to know what the other vehicles are. And I'd also like to know how come the fire trucks weren't budgeted in. If they're 30 years old, it's kind of like a copier at the library. City manager may know something about that. I believe you run a library up there, don't you?
So we do have a library, yeah.
Okay, well, I know, but I thought maybe you opened a library. When they needed a new copier, that copier was budgeted in. And I was wondering, how come this wasn't looked at 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago? And I said, you know, we're going to need to replace those fire trucks. We need to double start putting aside some money. Kind of like, if I need to buy a new car, I have to budget it in and buy another car. I'm currently driving something 300,000 miles on it because I can't afford it. And if you run my taxes up, it's going to cost me, what, 50-something, a little under 50 bucks a year. And that, in addition to my flood insurance getting a little fee added to it, $25, plus some other things going up, I'm wrestling with Nationwide about homeowners insurance right now. I feel like I'm suffering from a death of 1,000 cuts. In the last 7 years working for the federal government out on base, my cost of living increase has been 50 cents. You know, 50 cents doesn't even help me buy a gallon of milk. And I'm just about to the point right now, both me and my wife, she's a degree professional, we work full time. And I work on every other weekend, she works every weekend. We have trouble making ends meet. And it's the little things like this that add up on top of all the other little things that are making it real hard to pull the rope together tie a knot in it. Okay? And I'd like to know what other vehicles are being bought. I'd like to know how come the fire trucks weren't budgeted in. Okay, that's my main thing. I know y'all going to raise the taxes. Nothing I can say I'm going to keep y'all from raising taxes. But I'd like to know how come this wasn't looked at earlier. Okay, that's all I got to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. What we can do is, council, we can speak to the issue while each person comes up, I think would be appropriate. And the first off is, these vehicles are in this budget. They're not in the SPOLOST budget, they're in our what's called a general fund budget, which is what we generally use to run the city. And you'll see the increase in the budget number from one year to the other. Normally it would not have been such a large increase, but because we can't pull the money from SPOS to be able to purchase these vehicles, because our SPOS money has been redirected to pay the water and sewer fund. And if I could frame something for everybody to help you understand where we are, in 2014, and I have my chief accountant here to keep me square. In 2014, we had to start a second level of payment on water and sewer bond, which was basically for the principal side of it. So that was $1,640,000. We got approval through clarification with the state, et cetera, that we could take the SPLOS money and apply that for this bond incremental payment that we had to make of $1,640,000. Now the total bond payment is more than that. What we were paying was some of the interest level charges that were applied to that that started in 2010. So we went from a splosh available funding for spending on roads, infrastructure, piping, police cars, other types of vehicles like that, that would come normally from a splosh, which gave us $2.1 million a year, which is 1%. So we went from 2,000,001 starting with this year to approximately $640,000 that we could spend in the course of the year for all the infrastructure, vehicle, and anything else that we need to do to support the city. And what a lot of us would think about is, you know, the operating expense versus the capital. And so we did not have the money in the budget for splosh to be able to spend on that, and the vehicles we had been putting off for the last 6 to 7 years, Robbie, sort of based on when your requests were with that moving the can down the road, and we finally gotten a response from our fire people, and we went out to look at the vehicles, and they can no longer be sustained the way they are. They are hand making some parts. Correct? Just to make sure, I'm looking at the fire chief, it's right on your shoulder.
Yeah,
so,
sorry. Close to my head.
And so we're directing general fund money to be able to pay for trucks that are no longer operational, the 26 and 28 years old. And in addition to that, as sort of a confirmation of the fact that we're really up against an age limit on some of this equipment, we had, I think, our backup piece of equipment was hauled down to Jacksonville a week ago.
No, that's front line. That's
front line piece of equipment. How old is that?
It's 13 years old.
Yeah, so you know, it should be happening, but it did. And that's another expense that hopefully we can put under splosh, but I don't know. But Mr. Holman, our city manager, has some of the detail on specific components of spending for the differential that we got this year. And what we will do is take the differential and be able to add it to the $460,000. And I know I seem to be emphasizing that number, but again, remember, we were doing our capital projects with approximately $2.1 million in splosh that we got every year that the county applies. So now we have $640,000 to try and run the city on. And although it was, I think, the favored request of everybody in the city to be able to take the splosh money and apply it to the bond payment, and that did preclude, I think, a significant research into where we could get the funding to make that payment differential, which had to be made based on bond documents. So now we're faced with having to have some level of working funds to be able to handle the capital requirements for the city over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, and when the splosh comes, we're going to have to decide whether, hopefully, the public will want to continue to splosh. There's not a lot of relief on this bond until 2033. So what we have to do as a city is start working on finding increased revenue through attracting business and getting additional taxes through the growth and the city and the growth and industry in particular, which we know would help with jobs. So we are wrapping it all together, and like to try and make sure we're answering your questions, but John specifically has got his capital plan outlined here, and I think John and I talked about just this issue earlier to make sure that we could answer these questions appropriately. John, I'll let you provide whatever detail you've got, and hopefully we can start to answer your question.
And one of the questions was what vehicles we were going to replace in addition to the ones that were listed. The two fire trucks we're replacing are certainly aged out.
Yes, sir.
No, that was our thing. We have to pay the debt on those for the next 7 years. And borrowing right now is at an all-time low rate. So it's a good time to go out and borrow the money. So that we needed to raise and take care of. We also have two police vehicles. We are on schedule to try and replace two every year so we get the ones out that have serviced, because service life is out. We have one, I believe it's a water or sewer truck that has 258,000 miles on it. Time for it to go.
It's less than the car I'm driving.
I know, but it's gotta go. It's more to maintain it than anything else. The mayor is on SPOS, just to go over a little bit of SPOS. The mayor's right, it's $1,680,800 in debt service we're paying. It's coming out right away. Out of what was a $2,300,000 fund. Now, in this year, based on some of these state statutory changes, we will lose money in SPOS and loss. We're actually gonna drop in value from what we collect. In this year alone, a few of the things that we're taking care of there is the Gateway Turn Lane, to explain that, that's Attic Road and St. Mary's Road to try and improve that turn lane and make it safer. That's built in. Some Gateway Center enhancements, but that's a small item.
Exit one you're talking about?
That's out of exit one. It's within St. Mary's, not outside of St. Mary's. And then Aquatic Center, we have to replace two of the pool liners of floors under these gaps to be done. The vehicle equipment that you were talking about, one additional item we have to replace or put in is a generator for one of the water plants. It needs the generator. It's $150,000 we have to pull in. And we have paving overlay we have to take care of, which means we have to put about $220,000 of our money into our roads and other paving, parking lots and everything to help maintain our own roadways. That uses the SPOS stuff before we go anywhere. We're done at that point. Council, in taking a very careful look at it, has spent over the past number of years, has reduced staffing, has done everything that I would do in order to control costs, and has done a good job on it, and has maintained the tax rate for the past 6 years. But in this year, we've hit a wall where we have to move forward. We have to replace the fire trucks. We have other costs that are beginning to go up on us, and yet each year we've lost some money in taxes. Every year the amount we collect in taxes has gone down. Not because the tax rate has changed, but because the value of the digest or the assessed value of everything in the town has slowly dropped. So we continue to see an erosion of our revenues.
But there's less business, there's a less, smaller tax base due to less
Absolutely.
Business.
That has been, that continues to drop. We're trying to get that turned around.
Good.
As that, well, I always think positively that we can do that. If we work hard at it, we can make a difference. But at this point, we've hit a level of service where we have to replace certain pieces of equipment, and those pieces of equipment do cause us to request staff from the council an increase in the tax rate so that we can pay that.
I think one of the, if I could, John, one of the other things that we're not addressing, and we've had a lot of requests for, particularly over the last 2 years, right at the borough. You remember that was an intense water system that dropped a lot on the city. More so than heavy rains, it was very unusual, but it pointed out some really difficult areas in the city that needed attention. And we're talking about having to create a stormwater fund, and a fund is definitely, as you've heard, there's a general fund, there's the water and sewer fund. These are distinct accounting entities that should not be commingled in any way. They live on their own. So we collect water and sewer fund monies to help pay for the bond. And that's sufficient enough, as you can see, and that's why we had to go and draw from SPOS. But we need a significant amount of money to start working on the stormwater, and particularly over in, at the name of the street.
Douglas
Drive, and communities back in there. Communities came in and made very, very strong appeals, pictures, and did a very nice, logical approach that we're having to look out and determine how we're gonna be able to address that, because if we don't address it, at some point in time, we have a major storm, we're gonna have some flooding over there, and we're gonna have to deal with it. So how do we budget for something like that when we've lost 80% of our SLOSS money to this bonding? And so we're trying to figure out what is the minimum amount that we can do to try and impact, the least impact that we can have on citizens to be able to manage through this period where we're still, we've been in flat growth for 10 years. That it may have appeared like we had a lot of growth, and it was, as we all know, it was a phantom. And it went up and it came right back down and the city adjusted. We've been living, on this, and we knew at this point in time was coming at the end of the year where the payments were gonna come up, and we had to figure out a way to do this. And we also had a discussion at the last council meeting about some water and sewer for some sections of the city that are still not complete, and their time is due, and we're trying to figure out when we can do them. None of them is $50,000. And that's the other problem. So we have major funds that need to have addressed, but we don't have the revenue to be able to deal with it. So we're trying to figure out how do we parse the money that we have. Equipment is very important, and obviously we made the determination to state the issue for the fire equipment was a priority that had finally reached its end. And as you know, you go into the fire department, there's a drip pan on the garage floor trying to deal with equipment that just is not there. You know, and we can't take the risk. But we also need, I think, we all need to be thinking about, it's not only status quo, but we're depreciating our equipment and our city resources every year. So, and we really need to be able to make sure that that's either stabilized or improved. We have a downtown that we want to address as far as its infrastructure. We can't get at those with those issues with the amount of money that we're going to have in revenue over, particularly in the next 4 years. We have a bond that comes to completion. It's called a GEFA, a GEFA loan in 19. It will give us a little bit of relief on our total debt service, but it does not get us anywhere near back to the 2.1 million that we had in SLOSS. And that this is like, let me take it and give you an analogy. It's like having a dual income household, and having one of those household people have to go to part-time. And so you've got to adjust. So we're trying to figure out how to adjust and still be able to manage the city. There are some critical things that we just have to deal with. The amount of money that comes from this is $350,000 additional revenue through the military. Is that pretty close, ma'am, control?
Yes, 275.
275, okay. So we add that back to the 460,000. We're getting up to about $700,000 that we can actually function to be able to make sure that we have critical needs met in the city. And that's incumbent on us to make sure that your city's prepared and can deal when we get calls like what happened over at the library. The line that crashed, collapsed, what's the proper phrase? Well, obviously. And as I like to say, you turn into the library and there's about a 12-foot patch of new concrete with curbing, it's beautiful. That cost $80,000.
I can believe it.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you went under the road and on the other side, you saw a lot of work in that dirt area. Those are the surprises that we're not even factoring in. We know that we have to have surprise money. We have to be prepared for that, and it's incumbent on us to protect the city when we have those kind of problems. We need the funding to be able to support, you know, I think we in no way want to be charging a millage rate that becomes onerous to people. this is as much as we feel that we could ask you for, still manage the city, and not be able to react the way we need to when we have a problem, but also to be able to plan. It's gonna be pretty judicious whether or not we can get everything we want. A lot of it will depend on the surprises that come. If the surprise comes, we're gonna back off the planned part of the budget. Okay. Could I ask for somebody else, and then we can go back around? Who's next, please?
My name is Curtis Hollow. I live at 306 Palmetto Street. I moved down at St. Mary's about a year ago this month, and we love it down here. But my wife and I are on fixed income, and you know, we've got a certain budget, and this increase is gonna raise our house payment up. I still have a house payment, 68 years old, but that's all right. But you know, and I realize the fire and the police, I'm all for keeping them, giving them what they need. And I support them in every way that I can. But I'd like to, you know, just ask you, I know you're gonna go up. It ain't no doubt in my mind. You're going up on taxes. But go up as least as you can. This gentleman right here talking about homeowners insurance. I'm looking for another homeowners insurance now because mine went up. And, you know, we're having to cut things around our house that, you know, we can do without. I mean, I was raised up like most of y'all in town. You done with what you had. You know, but I just like to ask you to go as little as you could. And the county, if I'm correct, I might be wrong, the county, when they reassess your property on the millage rate or whatever, say go from $100,000 to $175,000, then your taxes is raised. Y'all get part of that, right? You raise your taxes.
When the, may I?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So the assessors,
yeah,
that's a totally different group within the county. They're somewhat autonomous there. Seriously, they have a process, and there's a reporting mechanism that they have to go through. But it's the assessors, I think they have a 3-year cycle that they should go through where they reassess everybody in the county.
Yeah.
Every 2 years. I'm not quite sure that that happens.
Thank you, right.
I'm not involved with the assessors. I know one of them, I think, way back when, from when the watchdogs were out. I don't know if you remember. The other folks might remember the watchdog process when things started to crash, and they helped people learn how to go to the assessors and petition to have their assessment changed because it was not right, it was too high, or maybe definitely wouldn't go there if it was too low. So the assessment that's done by that group, whatever they do to change it, if it goes from 100 to 170, then any millage rates that are applied to you automatically go, whatever your assessed valuation is,
right,
from the assessors, then the millage rates that exist in the cities and the county then are applied to that.
Right.
And I didn't mean to over-explain it, and if it's...
In other words, y'all get a raise on property tax.
It's
coming. You know,
haven't we already accounted for what the digest is going to be?
We were waiting
to get that figure.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Howell, we at the county level, back at the height of the was the fake. Run up. We were as a county, I think we were at. Let me do the city. The city was somewhere around $750 million in assessed valuation. And then we're down to 504. So we've dropped 30% since the run up. But we also adjusted the millage rate. And then at a certain point, 6 years ago, we worked very hard to keep the millage rate as flat But the digest continued to decrease. We went down to 8.8%, we went down 4%, this year we're down 2%. So we've continued to lose revenue from the city. And quite frankly, the only way we're really, and I hate to sound like a broken record, the only way we're gonna make a dent in this is particularly on the commercial and industrial side is to start boosting that number. The residential basically remained flat and went up a little bit in value. And that's because of some new homes that were added. So that, fundamentally, the existing revenue from existing homes just stayed the same. But we had enough new properties come on that it gave us a little bit of good, but it was counteracted by a loss in commercial value.
Yes.
And then we lost a significant amount of money in our digest from the retooling of the automotive revenue. And that's really what gave us the 2% decline this year. Every year, that's a different story about how it happened. Yeah. But we have declined for... Yeah, but I mean, we've been declining every year for at least the last 6 years.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate
it's not like the digest is gonna. So what I would, not to get off track, I don't mean to do that, but if you do get an assessed increase, there is a mechanism for you. Well, Bob's done it. You can go to that assessor's office.
I come from, I've been up there twice in the last 5 years, so I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would encourage you to do that, particularly if you feel it's unfair.
Yes.
Or there's no documentation that really gives you a sense that it was done with some kind of due diligence.
Yeah.
But we are still dealing with, you know, are we seeing a decline in the SPLOST overall because of the restructuring through the state. So now that 7 being level is starting to take off just a little bit. Then we had the redirect of the bond payment, and we've had reduction in ad valorem revenue for the last 6 years. So well, we have a perfect storm that's finally reached its end in 2014, and this is the council to have to deal with it.
Well, just I appreciate your time. Just make it less painful as you can.
And anytime that you want to come and talk to us about it, you know, we are open for that.
Absolutely.
And ma'am, did you want to talk? Okay. Yes, sir. You doing this?
Look at me again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Take the full circle. Oh, Ms. Norris, did you want to say anything?
Just listening.
Okay.
There's your library person. Yes.
Well, library does a good job. Love it.
Thank you.
I just have one other question. I guess to the city manager himself. I believe you said that you were tasked with bringing in more tax base, basically.
Well, we all are.
Well, y'all are.
No. I'm tasked with strengthening economic development in the city, which,
okay,
if you really get down to it, is providing jobs and more of a tax base.
I got you. All right. Well, it's just I've been here 22 years, and I drive up Spur 40, I take a left on 40, come downtown, it's a death zone. Somebody starts a business, grand opening.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, sale. Next thing you know, half off. Next thing you know, going out of business. Now, if I haven't seen 25 or 30 businesses, I've seen 45 or 50 businesses. There's no draw of people down in that part. I mean, everything is out by the interstate. St. Mary's didn't annex up to the interstate, I assume. Kingsland jumped all over it and got both sides. So they got a big tax base coming out of that right there. And in talking to my friends in Kingsland, they got some pretty low taxes up there because of that own commercial tax base. And I have no idea what kind of industry you're going to draw into St. Mary's that's not tourist related or anything like that. I mean, they're not going to manufacture parts over there off Point Peter Road or anything like that I know about, because it's too far from the interstate. And I'd be real interested in seeing some plan in building up the commercial tax base to alleviate some of the tax pressure on us. Basically, it's...
One point.
Sure.
The millage rate in Kingsland is, I believe, 8.5%.
That's right.
Yeah, it's higher than here to 6% here.
That's right.
So anybody who tells you that there's...
Let's go by what they tell.
Right, 6 mils versus 8.5 mils.
Yeah.
Anybody who tells you the tax rate is less in Kingsland is not speaking actually with facts.
Well, they could be talking out of us out of mouth. I know that's just what somebody told me.
Well, you know, Mr. Moore, we want to be careful, we don't, and Bob's right, the differential in taxes between us and one of the other municipalities, we were the lowest, and we're probably equal now to our friends over in Woodbine, everybody else is higher than we are. And the school system and the county are totally different animals. But we have maintained the lowest millage rate, even before this discussion here for, I mean, 8 or 9 years, I got a graph somewhere, and I can show you if you like afterwards, I'd be happy to do that. And we worked very hard because we heard the commercial community and the development community talking about how we needed to be more resilient when they're trying to attract housing development in particular, and that the whole package of startup costs to put a house on a lot and get the water to it, get the electric, and all, we weren't competitive. And so we looked at the landscape for our big neighbor next door, and we set up a program, this council, I think, that set up a program, says, okay, we're gonna get real close, and we were within $500.
Well, applaud you for that.
They said, well, we need to be competitive, but it took a little chunk out of our money that we need to help support some of the projects that we had. But we are, for the most part, I feel we are competitive on that building development landscape that's out there anymore, and that we're definitely competitive when it comes to the tax rate. I'll say it that way.
Yeah.
And I'd be glad to show you that later if you want. But in my graphs, I can come and show you. But so when we consider making this change, I can tell you that the angst that went around the table and everybody looking at the numbers, trying to figure out how we're going to make this work. We were not going to take the millage rate to try and make up the difference to SPOS. That's unconscionable, because we understand the impact to Mr. Howell's comment about everybody's individual income, and we know, because it's, and we're not going to hide it by putting in a large sewer bill or creating some kind of other little tax. We're pretty straightforward in this council, we're proud of our transparency. We let you know everything. We try and get out there monthly with a column or something on the water bill and let you know what we're doing and why we have it. So I would say, and I speak for council, has to speak for himself, but I feel confident that what we're doing is the minimum that we think we can sustain over time. You know, we're not looking to now next year do it again and raise it next year. We're going to take this one and say, okay, how can we figure out how to manage ourselves for the next period of time with this rate? And I think we can do it. This is why we looked at the number and said, what's sustainable? $700,000, not a lot of money? In the scheme of things, when you get a surprise for $80,000, and we are an old city, and we do, I don't do it as much as Mr. Holman goes to bed wondering at night what's going to break. Going bump in the night, because he calls me in the morning, whereas he gets the evening call. And not to be
3 o'clock in the morning call? Is that
not to be facetious, but it's a serious issue.
I know what you're talking about. I get those myself.
But, okay. And I'm quite serious, but anytime people want to talk to me, and I do have some graph detail to show you if you'd like, I'd be happy to sit down with you.
Okay, well, that's fine. I appreciate it. Just one last question, I'll get out to here. Ben called me for about another hour and a half. Is there anything going on with the old Pecos property?
I meant to go over there. Yeah. To your point about, a lot of times we can't bring out a lot of the detail about what's happening with property, particularly with the concept of bringing in development that particularly brings jobs and hopefully maybe bring traffic, to your point, but we've got to have traffic to get sustained development on 40 and Osmore. And so if I could, you bear with me for a minute. So we had a creditor group that owned the mill property after it failed. And a small subset of the creditor group had determined that they would think that they could develop this property. And so about a year ago plus, they've made the offer to the big creditor. Now, this is oversimplified, but it's the way I understand it. So they've made an overture to the large creditor group, which was accepted. So they have until, I think, the end of the year to determine that they want to buy the property. Now, they've been doing business due diligence with state, with our joint development authority people, interacting with a number of different businesses, and they have their own developer to go out and source some kind of industrial park design over there.
We're talking industrial park, not residential like it originally was at Landmark over there.
Yeah, and if I could go back to that, just, I know this is excruciating detail, folks, but bear with me, I just want to.
I'm sorry, I'm calling.
No, that's all right. When the project failed and the creditors took over, they, after about a year or two, they hired a, basically a commercial agent. And they had fairly large scope, it was definitely national, I think they had a little bit of international connections. And that thing dwelled for at least 3 years and did nothing. I mean, think about where they were at that time. You couldn't get any further down in the trough, and, you know, we're at the end of the tail to begin with. So there was hardly any activity in there. So they made the decision to change from the commercial to a industrial type of marketing group. And so that firm went out and did the same thing, basically tried to, as representatives, go out and market that property. That was more successful also at the time things were improved. This property being 149-150 acres of brownfield, sort of in the middle closer to the Meeting Street, it's less problematical for an industrial site than it is for a residential. So it's a little bit, not necessarily forgiveness, but the way it's capped is something that that offers a better development opportunity. Most of the people that have talked to us said, you know, to all of us in one way or another, that residential development slash some kind of commercial support is probably not realistic there. It will just not go. So it's got to be industrial. And so we're hoping that this subset, it's called ASM Capital, that ASM Capital will be able to find the beginnings of some folks that are interested in starting to put up a multi-parcel kind of an industrial park of some sort.
Yeah.
And council's watching it very carefully because if we're going to an industrial park, one that we'll all be proud of.
We'll be careful with the meeting with St. Mary's, so to speak.
Yeah, well, we just want to make sure that we've got good industry in there. I'll say it that way.
Well, okay, I understand. Yeah. I understand.
And, but that's what we're hoping, and it's going, it's ongoing, and has been. Mr. Holman's got the lead from the development responsibility. He interacts and he keeps us informed as they make progress. Now, there is an activity that they're working on and request for, it's called a DRI, Development of Regional Impact. It's a document they have to prepare that says we really are interested and here's what we think is going to happen. Here's the type of development that we would seek to bring in. That has to go through our planning department, the council, it's got to go to the state, it's got to go to what we call the Coastal Regional Commission, it's got to go to the planning department, or development.
Planning department and then back to the council.
And then come to here. But something is going on there, and it's been ongoing on a regular basis, so they shared that much with all of us. It's excruciatingly slow, and people's patience, because it can be a solution to help with a number of problems that we have. We are hoping that we can get a positive by the end of the year from the group and begin to see what they have in mind, and if they've got somebody in there that's going to help us out, then maybe we'll see the difference. Then, of course, doing the algebra equation, that happens, the industrial taxes we get can start to give us the relief that we need from some of the pressing issues that we have. Tax base goes up, which it hasn't, as I said, our ad valorem has consistently gone down. SPOS has stayed flat, and, I'm not trying to get anybody to get a handkerchief out, but it's, we've not had the glory days that people have seen in the last 3 or 4 years with the development that's happening, I think, in very targeted areas of the country. It's, we know it's not here yet, and we're doing the best with what we have, and I'll just, I mean, maybe council wants to weigh in about the fact that we husband your money.
Well, I believe you do, that's why I'm up here, don't want to talk to you about taxes and everything like that. And over on Mayhem Street, it's still the end of 2008, I can tell you that right now, you know? But, that's all I needed to know, and I appreciate it. If it's okay with y'all, I'm gonna go ahead and get out your hair, 'cause I'm gonna try to get a little nap before I go back to work. But, I appreciate ladies and gentlemen of council for listening to me, and, you too, sir. And, thanks for your transparency.
And I sincerely meant that, anybody who's up here, or not, doesn't want to come up right now, but, the door's open.
Well, I may turn up at your door asking some questions one day, but I'll make an appointment. I'm gonna, we'll have a stick in my hand, I promise.
And before you go, Bob, thanks for coming and making your comments.
Oh, yes, sir, yes, definitely. Y'all have a good day.
Anybody who likes to come back up? Alright. I'm gonna call this. Jerry, thank you very much, Mr. Howell.